You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 317 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: President Joe Biden has made it his mission to reopen most schools in the U.S. in his first 100 days on the job. But teachers, parents, and local policymakers aren't all on the same page about how to do that safely. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. New York City will delay opening vaccination megasites at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field because of vaccine shortages. The city will miss its goal of 1 million doses by the end of January. The city received about 100,000 fewer doses last week than it had expected from the U.S. government. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city is equipped to vaccinate 500,000 people a week if it gets a supply increase. In the meantime, it's rescheduling appointments. U.S. Infectious Disease Chief Anthony Fauci said he's worried about a push to delay administering the second dose of COVID-19 vaccines. At a World Economic Forum panel today, Fauci said it's best to give shots in line with the schedules outlined in clinical trials. Pfizer recommends a second dose of its vaccine after 3 weeks, and Moderna has a 4-week interval. Fauci was concerned about the efficacy of the vaccine if those intervals were stretched, and said that delaying the second shot could also give rise to more mutated forms of the virus. Finally, the UK reported the lowest number of new cases since the middle of December. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said his government would start considering which measures could be relaxed at the beginning of next month. The indicators hint at an impending peak in the number of deaths being reported each day, which last week hit a record. There are still thousands of people on mechanical ventilation, and UK hospitals are still under significant strain. And now for today's main story. President Joe Biden has vowed to reopen most U.S. schools in his first 100 days. But that could ignite clashes among teachers, their unions, and parents over how to do that safely. Petitions and potential teacher strikes loom, even while parents watch children struggle online. I spoke to Nick Carello, who reports that the issue has been one of the toughest pandemic challenges for local policymakers.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Across the U.S., school systems look vastly different right now. Some are entirely online, and others are back in the classroom. President Biden has announced his intention to reopen the majority of U.S. schools within his first 100 days. But how is his administration planning to achieve this?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's one that's on every teacher's mind. This has been a really complicated issue for policymakers and education advocates, and it's been very different district to district, county to county. Biden has basically promised to roll out federal guidelines to help schools kind of answer the question, you know, how quickly can we reopen? When should we be thinking about reopening, and how safe is it? This, in practice, is going to look like help from the federal government in terms of testing resources. It's going to look like best practices in terms of social distancing for the schools, what triggers they should really be using to kind of decide when to reopen and send teachers or students back into schools. And they've also asked FEMA to release funding to help teachers and schools pay for needed equipment to make it safe to return, like PPE or testing.
And so what have been some of the reactions, say, by teachers to this announcement?
You know, it's a good question. I would say that the national teachers unions are broadly in support of what Biden rolled out last week. These were executive orders signed towards the second half of last week. And for the most part, they were pretty vague. I mean, they haven't quite yet explained what that guidance will be. It was really just a promise that the guidance is coming and that there's going to be funds made available to the schools. So there's nothing too controversial in what we've heard so far from the Biden administration, but he has pledged to work towards reopening a majority of U.S. schools within his first 100 days. And depending on how quickly that happens and, you know, what the COVID situation looks like in various places, it does set the stage for something that could become potentially complicated. We've seen in Chicago, teachers unions are pretty close to striking as a result of being asked to return to schools and what teachers and their unions have deemed potentially unsafe. New York has had complications going back. In practice, is a really tricky issue for the Biden administration to nail down.
Let's get into that a little bit more specifically. I mean, what really are the fears that, say, the teachers' unions have identified about whether or not the classroom is safe to return to?
The big fear is that teachers are going to be asked to return to schools and it's going to be unsafe. There is a lot of research about this, and for the most part, we haven't really seen really dangerous situations in classrooms or, you know, strong outbreaks linked to classrooms. A large majority of cases in schools are usually acquired by teachers outside the classroom, and most students are less likely to contract severe COVID symptoms. But that being said, the vaccine rollout has been complicated, and a lot of teachers are being asked to go back to school as we speak and may not even be able to get the first shot. It varies state by state, kind of how high in the pecking order teachers are about when they're going to get their vaccine. And if you're an elderly teacher or someone who has a pre-existing condition or some sort of comorbidity, it makes sense that they would be concerned about, you know, even a small risk that a teacher might contract the virus.
And what has been the response to accusations that essentially schools have not provided the necessary, say, testing or tracing, that simply the extent to which schools are potential transmission sites just is unknown, and we don't really have the information needed to assess whether or not we can reopen schools safely?
Exactly. This is a really big point that the Biden administration wants to address, is that schools without really comprehensive contact tracing and testing systems in place aren't able to say definitively what the situation with coronavirus is inside their buildings. So in New York, they've been testing quite religiously. I think last week they did over 3,000 tests and they didn't find any single case of coronavirus. But not every state or district has that kind of capacity in place right now to do so many tests so frequently. And it's really not a sure answer as to whether or not the schools are safe without that.
Now, as part of this announcement regarding his plans for schools, President Biden has also, of course, recently announced his pick for Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona. What do we know about his views regarding either remote or in-person learning and the reopening of schools?
It was speculated that Miguel Cardona was picked partly because of the role he played in Connecticut's reopening. We don't know that for sure, but in that role, he was the state's commissioner of education before becoming the nominee for Secretary of Education. And he was a strong advocate for school reopening along with the state's governor, but didn't go so far as to mandate Connecticut schools to reopen. Instead, they allowed the districts a bit of flexibility to decide for themselves. And of course, some did, some didn't. I think New Haven schools just opened last week for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. It's complicated. I think he did get a little bit of pushback from certain districts or teachers who were made to go back, but he has done this once before as at a state level.
And do we know anything about the, say, prioritization of teachers in the vaccine rollout? Is there a chance that more teachers will qualify for being, say, front of the line to receive vaccines?
There are states that are really pushing teachers quite high on the list in order to get them vaccinated as quickly as possible, in large part because a lot of state leaders see school reopening as a huge hinge to the recovery of their economies. Allowing students to get back into schools with some regularity would free up a lot of parents who otherwise aren't able to go into their work or have complicated work schedules. So it does vary state by state. In New York, I think teachers are in Group 1B, which is alongside some essential grocery workers and people over the age of 65. And they are actively being inoculated right now, but it's difficult. You know, I've talked to a couple teachers who have had their appointments canceled or are unable to get a slot. I spoke to one teacher in New Jersey last week who is being mandated to go back into in-person teaching and hasn't been able to get a shot. So it's not perfect. Teachers are getting vaccinated, I think, as quickly as states can vaccinate them. But it's just a huge logistical challenge for these districts and teachers to get everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible.
Now, the opening of schools within his first 100 days is a very ambitious plan. Many think that we are not going to be seeing a normal school system or a school year really until the start of the next school year in the fall. I mean, how do you respond to those who think that this is really quite a distance off?
I guess it kind of depends what we think normal is. I mean, there's nobody really in education that is not eager to get students back in schools in some capacity. You know, virtual learning has really been quite difficult for a lot of students, especially students of color and low-income students who are, you know, more likely to be without digital devices or without strong internet access. There have just been complications left and right. And I think there's about a third of students in the U.S. who, since the beginning of the pandemic, have never set foot in a classroom. And right now, I think about 50%, maybe a little bit less, are currently doing virtual school. So Biden's goal to get a majority of schools in person, we're technically not that far off from it. I mean, there are a lot of places in the country where students are doing in-person or some sort of hybrid situation. But presumably, if he's talking about opening a majority of those that have yet to reopen, that's really tough. And there are going to be some schools with strong social distancing protocols or maybe A-B schedules. It's going to be a mishmash of policies and what these reopenings look like. And for sure, it's going to look very different from, you know, what we think of as normal in-person schooling pre-pandemic for quite some time.
That was Nick Carullo. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Nick Carello. Original music by Leo Sidrin. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Heard, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.